is tonight and tomorrow, and it's kind of a weird day. I think most people not exactly sure what to make of Hoshana Rabbah. Let's just see. What do you have to say about Hoshana Rabbah? Somebody tell me something about Hoshana Rabbah. What?
Least
enjoyable davening of the year. Are you going with Ami?
I'm throwing that out there. That's
right. Okay. It's right. It's not what you think.
No.
It's what other people... Least enjoyable davening of the year.
Somebody once told me it's a Lam Bishik Daim Kai.
Yeah.
Keep a Saruga. But he just told me that it's the thing of Hoshana Rabbah is the most paganistic day.
The most paganistic day of the year. Hoshana Rabbah, the most paganistic day.
He was not a
assume you're referring to the Hakafot.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's fine.
The smashing of the Aravot.
The smashing of the Aravot. That's what we know. Anything else? What else? What else do we know about Hoshana Rabbah and its content or its philosophy? Yeah. I mean, the davening is long, not the whole day. The day is still 24 hours.
No, I know, but it's a long feeling.
What?
Say goodbye to the sukkah.
Say goodbye to the sukkah. There you go. That's nice.
But
say goodbye
another,
to the sukkah. It's not nice, but it's...
Okay. It's also the last chance. It's
okay.
Opening the Nila doors again.
Last chance.
For that one last chance for
good. So it's the final day of Sukkot. And as Rashi said, it's considered the final day of tshuva as well. It's really, I mean, yeah, it's still Shmini Atzeret, but according to many sources, it's really the final Yom HaDin, right? What do we say on Hoshana Rabbah? In Yiddish, what do we say? That's not Yiddish. Good kvittel is Yiddish, and pit katava is Aramaic. You get your Aramaic and Yiddish mixed up sometimes. Happens to me too. So we say pit katava, good kvittel, and the reference is that even though we've had a Yom HaChatimah, Yom Kippur, our fates are already sealed and signed. In some way, the envelope has not yet reached where it needs to get. It can still be intercepted, and you can still get into the note that the principal sent home to your parents and change the note and try to. No, nobody did that. That's okay. I didn't do that either. So it's just something that I heard of that. So. It's supposed to be the Yom HaDin, though, the final Yom HaDin.
Although I've heard it doesn't materialize till Hanukkah.
Yeah, that's the Hasidim pushed it off all the way until Hanukkah. That's true. They pushed it off until Hanukkah. Why not? Why not? Yeah, and then Thanksgiving, and then so.
It's like in yeshiva. Yeshiva, you have like an auction. Yeshiva, I went to have an auction of. Of learning
of how much you're going to learn.
How much you're going to learn. It was until Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Oh, it goes into Hanukkah. Okay. Seder, so that's what it is. It's considered that Yom HaDin, Hoshana Rabbah. It's because it's the final day of Sukkot, the final days of the Yamim Anoraim. In fact, you know, Sukkot itself is a form of Din. This is not even any Kabbalistic idea. It's the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Arba Rosh Hashanah, yeah, right? We have four different periods over the course of the year where we are judged. Rosh Hashanah is only one of them. It's the big one, but it's only one of them. There's also Sukkot, which is Yom HaDin for Mayim, right? For Mayim. And then you have Tu Bishvat, and then you have Shavuot. Tu Bishvat is for the Ilanot, and Shavuot is for the Perot. So each one is a Din. So Sukkot is itself a form of Din. Now, but what do we do? What do we do with that long davening? By the way, Agav, I was just talking about this before. We're going to be davening at 6:30 tomorrow morning in Shul. Ami's going to take a whole group of people to the Old City. I was just sitting with my neighbor who said a few years ago he davened at the Clevelander. They started at 7, which is, you know, that's good news. They finished at 1.
Die. What?
And, you know, that's really Yom Kippurim. That's Yom Kippur. So you can either come at 6:30, or you can go to the Old City, or...
Go to Cleveland.
You can go to Cleveland. So where does this whole, the Hakafot, where does that all come from? So the truth is, you know, if you had to guess where the 7 Hakafot and the Aravot and all that came from, where would you guess it came from? How old do you think it is?
Oh, God, 3,000 years old.
Yeah. You think it goes all the way back? Does anybody think that it's not that old? Where do you think it comes from?
17th century Poland.
17th century Spain. Okay, yes. Svat. Sounds Kabbalistic, right? The truth is Rashi is right. Rashi is totally right. This is in Mishnah. In Sukkah, you're talking about people learning Mishnah and not knowing Mishnah. It's in the last parak of Sukkah. It's an open, it's open Mishnayot in Sukkah. The Sukkah talks about two important things on Sukkot. There's the lulav and there's the arava. And whereas the lulav, if Sukkot falls on Shabbos, when Sukkot falls on Shabbos, do we do the lulav? No, right? But the arava, we would. The Gemara suggests that the arava is so much more important, even perhaps, than the lulav, which is an amazing thing. The idea of going around. Anyways, the Mishnah talks about how every day we go around the Mizbeach, they went around the Mizbeach seven times, one time each day with the lulav, and on the seventh day they go around seven times. This is open in the Mishnah. What's interesting is that it talks about going around with Sefer Torah and with the shofar. They blow the shofar, which my neighbor said, they do at Cleveland. And I will tell you, I honestly have no idea. I honestly, Russell, tell me, why don't we do that? I have not been in any shul where they do that besides apparently Cleveland. It's in the Mishnah that that's the way to do it. What? I haven't gone with Ami. Do they blow the shofar in the old city? The truth is that, you know, Rav Sadyagon used to go on Hoshana Rabbah, used to go to the old city, well, he used to go to Yerushalayim, and he would walk around, not the Kotel, he would walk around Har HaZeitim. He would walk around Har HaZeitim seven times. There's a bus that's going to go around Har HaZeitim? Awesome. Awesome. And he would do it with the whole shtick, with the I believe he did it with the shofar, with the Sefer Torah, and apparently there was like 100 amos. There's a whole story about it. It's cool stuff. This is old. This is really old. This is the way they did it in the Beis HaMikdash, like Rashi said. It's not something newfangled. It's not something, and you say it's paganist. This is what they did. Yeah, it does certainly sound paganist. I agree with you. Yeah. And then it describes how they used to beat the Aravos. By the way, the Aravos at the Beis HaMikdash, They weren't these little dinky ten shekel.
They were very, very big.
They were 11 amos high. They were trees.
I think everybody who has Facebook has seen this one guy with a robot.
Yeah?
We're about that size.
That's really funny.
You'll see it.
They do that in the old city. What don't they do in the old city, Ami?
No.
So it's pretty old. Now, the question is, where does it come from? If you had to figure out where this whole minhag comes from, where would you locate it? If I told you that it comes from somewhere else, that it's not, you know, generated sui generis just from nothing, where from Tanakh? You mean the general mitzvah of the Na'anuim with the lulav and Eshel? Oh, where? What, there's a story with Eliyahu with Bina? Just, see, Tanakh. But Matthew said, Yericho. Yericho is the obvious thing. Yericho, they literally walked around once every day, and on the seventh day, they walked around seven times with the shofar. That's where it comes from. With the shofar, and then what happened? The walls came tumbling down. Actually, the Gemara says they didn't come tumbling down. They became absorbed into the ground. They can't find. That's why there's no rubble. There's no, like, you can't find the walls of Yericho. They're in the ground. You won't find them. They're gone. So the question now becomes, Ma Kesher between Hoshana Rabbah and the walls of Jericho? What does it have to do with each other? What do you think? This is what I've been thinking about all day, by the way. Which is a good thing. Thank you, David.
I'm sorry, what's the question again?
What does the walls of Yericho mm-hmm. have to do with Hoshana Rabbah?
The walls of the Yetzer Hara or something like that.
The walls of the Yetzer Hara, okay.
Take
our own Sukkah that day, okay. Interesting. Interesting. The walls of the Sukkah, okay. So here's what I want to suggest. Here's what I want to suggest. By the way, I'm not the first one to ask this question, and there are many suggestions for the answers. Most of them are Kabbalistic, and I couldn't build anything from them, so I had to make up my own. So I would suggest the following. Yes?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so entering Eretz Israel after the wandering in the desert. Interesting, yeah. Yericho was their first stop. And maybe I'll start from there. So Rav Eliel Dessler, in his Michta Me'Eliyahu, not talking about Sukkot, talking about Yericho, talking about Sefer Yehoshua in the second volume, he's talking about the story of Yericho and what it symbolizes. The idea that they walk around seven times and then the walls just come tumbling down. What does it all mean? And he says the central concept over there, and I think this is obvious, is bitachon. The idea that as they enter into Eretz Yisrael and they're going to engage in wars with many different people, and they're going to try to conquer the entire land, that the first war that they fight, they don't even fight. The first place they visit is Yericho with its impregnable walls that you can't get through. It was a strong city. The walls were, you couldn't penetrate them. And instead of having to do even a thing, they just walked around with their Sefer Torah and their shofros. And then after seven times, on the seventh day, it just collapsed. And the idea, Rav Dessler says, is that from the beginning of the fight, they know that what's going to win them the fight is not them. Lo b'kochi, right? Not their own strength, but it's going to be God. And of course, there's going to be fighting. They're going to have to do something about it afterwards. There's going to be an army that fights. But at the outset, they realize that it's really not them that's causing the victory of the war. Hashem can take care of it all, even if we fight for ourselves. Am I missing something? Okay, fine. The sukkah is compared to the mitzvah of Yishuv. Oh, because you can be in it and don't have to do anything? Okay, maybe. So, how does this connect to Sukkot and Hoshana Rabbah? So here's what I want to suggest. We're at the end of the Yamim Noraim process. Right? We've been through Rosh Hashanah, we've been through Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and we've been trying to be Zoche Badin, and there are many ways to go around being to go about being Zoche Badin. You can do mitzvot, you can do tshuva, you can daven, you can give tzedakah, you can try to be marbe b'zchuyot, you can try to regret your averot, you can do all different kinds of ways of doing it. And now we're in Sukkot, and now we're in Hoshana Rabbah, and apparently this is a different kind of day, so we have to figure out what kind of day is it. We have been carrying around with us for the last 7 days Arba Minim, right? And Arba Minim is, you know, extremely rich imagery around it. There's many different kinds of imagery. It can refer to different parts of the body, but I think the most famous is probably that it refers to different kinds of people. Am I right? Everybody learned this when they were a child, that the Esrog refers to somebody who has both Torah and Mitzvot. I'm going to mess this up now, but the Lulav refers to somebody who has the mitzvot and the Torah. Only mitzvot and no Torah. Which one is it? I don't remember anymore. What are the other? And the adatsim is the opposite. What? Can try not to. If we forget things, what do you mean? So if you have only one and not the other, and that's adatsim as well, and then the arava. Oh, good. Thank you, Google. So Torah Matzin Tovim. No, I know Torah Matzin Tovim. Which one is which? No, but you said the Mitzvot instead of Matzin Tovim. Okay, Shkoyach. So Torah Matzin Tovim. So Lulav is only Torah, no Matzin Tovim, and the Hadassim is the opposite. It's only Torah, only Matzin Tovim, and no Torah. And then you have the Arava who has neither. And then the way that this is supposed to go is that on Hoshana Rabbah we pick up the Aravot, and at the end we smack them on the ground, right? Which has very, very vivid and frankly vicious imagery to it. By the way, I can't not say this. Rav Kook and Rav Moshe Sternbach have surprisingly different views about what the Arava and beating of the Arava represents. It's very interesting. Rav Kook, I'll start with Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach says that the Arava, right? We for the first 6 days, we take the Arava, 7 days really, we take the Arava and we put it together with the rest of the Minim, and that's why it's okay, and that's why it's like kind of like the Ktoret, where you have the bad smelling thing, that as long as it's with the good smelling things, so as long as you have the Arava with the other Minim, it's okay. But the moment the Arava is separated, it needs to be beaten to the ground. So the reformers and the conservatives and the Leumim, they have to be beaten to the ground. As that's the imagery. That's what he says. Rav Kook, interestingly, agrees that the Arava refers to those who have no Masim Tovim and no Torah, and it refers to those, I guess he didn't say the word Le'umim, but it refers to the same people. But it's interesting. He says we're not beating the Arava, we're beating with the Arava. He says, Ano Shana Rabbah, we take the Arava, which represents somebody without Masim Tovim and without Torah, somebody who has only natural religious instincts. That's his words. That's not his words. But only the natural religious instincts, and we use it for that mini battle that we have on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And I want to extend that idea, if I can. I have always found it strange that we take these four minim, and the Midrash does this, but I've always found it strange that we basically take them, we pigeonhole Jews. We say, you know, there's this kind of Jew and there's that kind of Jew. And I'm wondering if people are in shul looking at their Arba Minim and thinking, you know, that guy? That guy is a Hadas. I'm an Etrog, of course. That guy's a Lulav and that guy's an Arava. It seems strange. Doesn't it seem strange? It seems a little weird. I've always found it weird. And then it gets worse when you get to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah and you say, okay, we're going to take all those Jews who have no Masim Tovim and no Torah and we're going to basically destroy it. It just always, something about it seems strange. So I wanted to suggest something new, which I don't think is beyond the pale. And it is that, and maybe this is a little bit Hasidish, it is that perhaps the Arba Aminim aren't different kinds of Jews, but it's all in each one of us. Each one of us has those components. And by the way, maybe this is referred to, it's not pshat, but the idea that they represent different parts of our body maybe is connected to this idea that every single one of us has an etrog. Maybe sometimes we're an etrog. Sometimes we're a hadas. At certain tkufot in our lives, we were a lulav. And sometimes, frankly, we're a ravot. Maybe too often. And in that sense, once you transform and you kind of invert the metaphor, then a lot of the rancor goes away. Frankly, I look at the Arba Minim, I say, that's all me. I find myself in every single one of the Minim. And then when it gets to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, then frankly, I understand what I'm doing when I'm beating the Arava. I'm trying to get that part at least out of me. I'm trying to eradicate it. So the idea on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is to eradicate that Arava. But how do we do it? We just hit it on the ground? That's what we do? That's it? So here's my suggestion. Gemara at the end of Sukkah. Can't get more appropriate than that. We are at the end of Sukkot. Here's the Gemara at the end of Sukkah. One of the most interesting Gemarot, I think, in Shas. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom. A person's yetzer, a person's inclination, is evil inclination, becomes stronger and stronger every single day. Shneemar rak rak kol hayom. We'll read that in a few days. Sefer Bereishis. And then Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. This is Reish Lakish. Remember who Reish Lakish was? Yes. He was a Baal Tshuva, the quintessential Baal Tshuva in Shas, right? Somebody would know about this, it's him. Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom u'mevakesh lahamito. And tries to kill him, the Yetzer. It tries to kill him, it tries to make him into a mace, into somebody who has no connection to God. Shneemar, tzofer rasha l'tzadik u'mevakesh lahamito. The Rasha wants to get to the Tzadik and wants to kill him. V'ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. And if God himself would not help him, the man, Eino Yacholo, he would not be able to defeat the Yetzer Hara. Shneemar, Hashem lo ya'azvenu biyado. God will not abandon him in his hand. V'lo yarshienu bihishafto. And he won't make him out to be wicked when he judges him. The imagery that Reish Lakish is presenting is the idea that, frankly, we are all, to a certain degree, powerless in the face of the Yetzer Hara, ultimately. And it's only God's help that allows us to go even a moment without sinning, which is, you know, a very cynical and powerless way of looking at man. But frankly, the Gemara doesn't shy away from that idea elsewhere. The Gemara is in Kedushin. We learned this together. Where does Kedushin describe at the end? Describe Tanaim struggling and frankly coming this close to failure with the Yetzirah. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, the Gemara describes how the Yetzirah told them that he, you know, basically the Yetzirah entices them and they are come this close to sinning, and then the Yetzirah lets them go and says, you know, I could have turned you into nothing. You would have been worth nothing if I didn't let go of you. Greatest of the Tanaim. So, what are we supposed to do? So perhaps that's what Hoshana Rabbah is. On Hoshana Rabbah, after all of the dachbulot that we've tried, after an Elul, a powerful Elul, after Rosh Hashanah, where we pray and we're mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Yom Kippur, when we confess our sins and we pray and we say we're going to be better, and tzedakah and tshuva and tefillah, and a sukkah, where we spend all our days just doing mitzvahs, finally we come to Hoshana Rabbah and we just turn to God and we say, you know what? You know what? I have this arava in me. And unless you help me, I can't get rid of it. And so I turn to you, God, and I just say, I'm going to remove the arava from the rest of the world. And I say, look, I have this piece of me that I've tried and there's not much I can do about it. I need you to help me. And while it may look paganistic, it's symbolism. You're hitting the arava, you're saying, God, this is worth nothing. This is about as useful as walking around the city with shofrot, blowing seven times. It's about as useful.
Yeah.
It does about as much. And yet at the end of those...
It doesn't do anything.
But at the end of those seven hakafot, somehow, some way, we want to say, take this part of me and just crumble it into dust. Help me. Help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is, by the way, that is a form of asiya itself. That is, you know, physician, heal thyself. That is something that we can do. We can pray. We can pray, Hashem, remove this part from me. Help me with it. And I think, I'm not saying this is pshat, because I wouldn't dare. Hoshana Rabbah is an esoteric, mysterious day. But I think this is a little bit of a hook that we can get on this very, very long, long day with its tefillah, which is very hard to understand. We can spend our time trying to understand the piyutim. I could try and spend our time understanding the piyutim, but begadol, I think this is a hook that we can use to try to understand a little bit of what's going on Hoshana Rabbah. Shakach.
Shakach, Rabbi. Excellent.
Well, that didn't work.
Good.
Yeah.
The time.